I talk to people all the time. Someone even told me once they thought I'd be a good talk show host.
Really?
Yeah, a couple of people. How do you get that, though? Where do you start? You can't just walk into a building and say, I want to be a talk show host.
I wouldn't think so.
It's all politics.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Silver Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. Joe Biden has just called on New York Governor Andrew Cuomo to resign. Hey, Joe, while you're at it, why don't you ask Inslee to step aside, too? Come on. Let's get rid of both corners of the country. It'll have a nice symmetry to it. We'll play some of that a little bit later. Andrew Cuomo, a report out today. I wonder if Chris Cuomo's going to lead his CNN newscast with this evening. I wonder if they're going to make Chris Cuomo step aside. He could have a little more time to pump iron tonight, possibly. Are they going to allow Chris Cuomo to report on his brother? I wonder. The report out today, rather exhaustive. Many women say they were victims of unwanted groping by... I've never heard... the word groping itself just suggests that it's unwanted. Wanted groping... I don't know if people want groping very often. But, yeah, I do wonder if Chris Cuomo's going to lead CNN tonight with that. So what was interesting in the press conference, I played you a soundbite right before the top of the hour where Cuomo said he never touched anyone inappropriately. That's not who he is. Here's just a few seconds of that.
I never touched anyone inappropriately or made inappropriate sexual advances.
Where have I heard that before?
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Well, we know that was true. So if Andrew Cuomo's saying the exact same thing, I'm sure it's true too. All right, let's get right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
As you know, Cliff Mass, professor of atmospheric science at the University of Washington, is a very, very good friend of this radio show. And when people go after my friends, I like to join in the battle here. There is a front page above the headline or above the fold. What we call it. I don't know. I don't see the hard copy paper anymore. But it's The Big Lead on their website, seattletimes.com. Headline, storm swirls around Seattle meteorologist Cliff Mass after he clashes with scientists about heat wave. And it's not a very nice story. Cliff Mass, the subject of that story, joins us live here on the Dory Monson Show. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
You sound so calm. The Seattle Times attacking. I've been attacked on the front page of the Seattle Times. They're attacking you, Cliff. Doesn't feel good. I know.
I've been through this before with them. You know, I've had, you know, disagreements with them that go back for quite a while. In fact, you know, I used to be one of their favorites before I criticized them. You know, so I, you know, was talking to them all the time, and then I criticized their big story on the oyster deaths from CO2 in the atmosphere, and they were furious at me. And basically, they wouldn't talk to me after that. They were so mad. So ever since then, they haven't been a friend, unfortunately.
Well, but you do seem to have a way of rankling people because you played maybe the largest role in saving a public radio station. I don't even know the call letters, KNKX or something like that. Is that right?
KNKX, right.
KNKX. So you sold out Kane Hall, did a fundraiser for them. You were their favorite. And then all of a sudden these, and you know, I think you're probably a little left of center, slightly. I think you're a pretty moderate guy. But the radical left just came after you, and the station you helped save fired you. And what was that all about?
Well, it's even worse than that, because I did play the central role in saving that station. In fact, the station head, Joey Cohen, told everybody, well, get another job. And so I said, no, we can save the station. And we got to fight. And then I had a conversation with Anna Mari, the president of the University of Washington, that gave them the chance to save the station. So I played a central role in saving the station, but that didn't save me when the crowd came after me. So they were the sort of the left-leaning progressive crowd wanted my head, and they were happy to give it to my head to them.
I know. I mean, that's what's pathetic is when companies don't stand behind good people, when they let cancel crowd come after you. Okay, so let's talk about what has the bee in the Seattle Times bonnet today. So it was something you came on my show a few times when we had that record heat wave a few weeks ago, and you explained the clashing, not clashing, but the confluence of events that caused that heat wave. And yet Jay Inslee and Joe Biden, they were saying that it was caused by climate change, and you correctly said that's nonsense. But that seems to be at the heart of what this latest beef with you is.
It is. And they're extremely upset at me for saying that the heat wave was mainly the natural variability, mainly natural. Global warming probably added a little bit to it. And then on top of that, I criticized their headline. I mean, I did mention my blog. The Seattle Times had this headline that I said was just not true. And I criticized the attribution report that they were all talking about. So they were upset with me for complaining about their big play, hyping this event as global warming only.
And what you pointed out to me was that, you know, in the last whatever it is, 50 years, the planet has warmed by 1 or 2 degrees. And you said, so it probably added 1 or 2 degrees to the heat wave, but that doesn't explain the other 40 degrees. And that was, like I said, the most rare confluence of events. But, I mean, here's where I think the Seattle Times and the 96% consensus that, you know, I know you're not a global warming denier in the slightest. I don't believe man has as significant a role, but I know that the planet evolves constantly from extreme to extreme. But we had record, the all-time high temperatures in our state. I think one record was set in the 1910s. Another one was set in 1961. And now the Seattle Times says it would be impossible to have the 114 degrees that we had 3 weeks ago without climate change. And if that's an impossibility, how did we have very close to that temperatures 60 years ago and 120 years ago in our state?
Well, the thing is, it was very deceptive how the whole thing was worded. Well, they may be right. It wouldn't have been 100. Seattle got to 108. It wouldn't have been 108. It would have been 106.
Right.
So, I mean, and so, but that's the funny way that language is used. Oh, if it wasn't for global warming, we would never have the 108. Well, that's true. We would have had the 106. We still would have had a record-breaking heat wave. We still would have had all the impacts. See, that's where it's very, very deceptive.
So here's one paragraph in the Times today. On July 6th, in a post, Mass declared that without global warming, we still would have experienced the most severe heat wave of the past century. So again, I'll ask the Seattle Times, how in the world did we have equal record heat before the internal combustion engine was invented? I know we had volcanoes and cow farts back then, but, you know, they're putting it all on man-caused global warming. In a follow-up post on July 13th, Mass blasted as profoundly flawed a world weather attribution report by a team of 27 international scientists that concluded the heat wave would have been virtually impossible without human-caused climate change. And I'm serious about this, Cliff. Then how did we have 105 degrees 120 years ago if it's impossible without climate change?
Well, because the factors came together. And, you know, in fact, one of the most obvious ways to show that this global warming dominating is wrong is to just show it. Look at the trend in record heat waves. And a guy named John Christie has done this, going back 120 years. And if global warming is important, you would see more record heat waves. It would be a trend upward of more record heat waves. Well, it's not there. It doesn't exist.
Right.
I mean, that's busted. I mean, that's the end of it. So, I mean, the evidence is so powerful that what happened was not really global warming. It was factors coming together. The dice all were six, and we had this event.
Right. What's the motivation here? Because I have my theory. I mean, because I think that proves the Seattle Times is lying. Since we had record temperatures before there was, you know, like I said, carbon emissions or man-caused carbon emissions. What's the motivation when they talk about this phony 96% scientific consensus and the media all falls in line with it and is championing it? Like I said, I'll tell you my theory in a moment, but why do you think this is happening?
Well, it's 97%, by the way, not 96%.
Sorry. Seattle Times is going to say lots and lies about scientific consensus number.
It's transitioned into religion. I think that's the central thing here. This is no longer science. You know, you believe in climate change. That is the weirdest thing. I mean, do you believe in gravity? No.
Right.
Do you believe in radiation? No, but you believe in climate change. So you believe these things, right? And then you need, it's not only consensus, it's authority. Oh, the authority of all these people. You know, in fact, that study, by the way, the 97% thing is ridiculous. If you look at how they came up with that number, it's just senseless. But we've transitioned away from what science is. Science is all about conflict. That somebody has an idea, and then someone else, you know, criticizes it. There's the peer review system, which science is all about. And these attribution people try to short circuit that. They write something that looks like a news, like a paper, and they send it to the press. They put out a press release. It goes out there without being peer reviewed like real science is supposed to do. And so I think it's very unethical, this whole approach.
Well, and I mean, the Seattle Times making this criticism. I remember a couple of years ago, one of your colleagues at the University of Washington pushed out a study that said because of climate change, and I don't have it in front of me, and I don't remember the number, but it was like 83 or 100,000 people in our state will die by 2060. Like I said, I'm just guessing on the numbers, but it was something like
that.
Well,
I'll tell you.
I'll tell you
the study.
Yeah.
There was a study that was suggesting that heat wave will kill 725 people, one heat wave, in Seattle by the end of the century. And this got front page coverage in Seattle Times, okay? Well, it's absolutely nonsense. It not only assumed the worst heat waves you could possibly have, but it also assumed that no one would have air conditioning. Well, we had an end-of-century heat wave. We just had it. How many people died? Did 725 people die in the city of Seattle? No, maybe 10 or 20 at the most. So the whole thing is just silliness.
I had your colleague who did that study on my show, and she told me that she didn't factor in any variables. She just said, if you took the Seattle of today and plopped it into a future where things are hotter, that 700 people will die. And I said, but you don't just plop today into the future. Man adapts. And like you just said, we'd have more air conditioning. If people can live in Scottsdale, Arizona, in Palm Desert year-round these days, then we can handle it in Seattle. And so it's just silliness, some of this stuff. But I do want to get to this before we wrap up here. Towards the end of the story, they talk about how you're a controversial figure, but they specifically mention that you have criticized the Seattle Times and some of their headlines, and that just sounds like a newspaper, and there's still a little bit of power in newspapers, and sounds like they are just using this forum that they have to exact retribution against anybody who dares speak independently. I mean, it's amazing, Cliff.
Well, yeah, and it's worse than that. I catch them in their errors. They had one article by Ryan Blethyn, you know, the son of the publisher, who talked about this, and he was talking about carbon monoxide. He got the wrong gas. I mean, there's been story after story that's technically wrong in the newspaper. But one thing they have in common, all these stories are trying to hype and exaggerate, you know, the end of the world characteristics of global warming, which are simply not true.
Well, and, you know, you told me your theory as to why the scientists and the politicians and the media, if they all had their way, we would see a transfer of trillions and trillions of dollars globally. And when there's that much money at stake, I think people should always be a little bit skeptical of the people who are trying to put forth the change that would lead to trillions being exchanged. So people just need to be a little more skeptical. And that's what I find most amazing. I get criticized the most because I don't walk in lockstep. You get criticized the most because you don't walk in lockstep. I can't believe that people want groupthink to that extent. That people want everybody to think alike and to whether it's true or not, just pass along what everybody else is saying.
Right, but I'm particularly a problem for them because I'm an apostate priest. In a religion, nothing is worse than a priest that goes over to, so they think goes over to the other side. That is like the lowest of the low. And so I think that's a big problem for me.
Oh, man. Does your blog, it says your blog gets sometimes during big weather events, 500,000 hits?
That's right. And I think that's the other problem they have, is that I have an ability to get information out. And, you know, obviously some people like that information, right? Yeah. And so, and they can't stop that.
You get 20,000 views on a typical day, it says.
About 20,000.
Have you figured out how to monetize all that?
All I can tell you is, 15,000-20,000 is probably a good number on a typical day. And then there's big, you know, the big events, you know. I mean, I'm dedicated to giving people the absolute best weather prediction. I try to do that during the heat wave. You know, I try to do it during snowstorms, and I want people to see what the technology can offer them. And it's really important. You're worried about global warming and storms and extreme weather. Well, the ability to forecast it well is very protective.
Sure.
And that's something that people have to know about.
Did the phone line cut out when I asked my last question? Did you hear my question? Have you been able to monetize that?
Well, not very, a little bit. Yeah, I do have some advertisements on
there. Oh, you do? Okay. No, should. Look, I make a living off of advertising. I'm not, Chris. I was hopeful that you were able to.
That's the way it should be. I am monetized.
Okay.
And I do use some of them. I have a Cliff Mass research fund that I use for various purposes. So, yeah, I am monetizing to it some degree.
Okay. Yes. Fantastic. That's the way it should be. You provide something people want, so you get rewarded for it. And if you tick off the Seattle Times, you should be rewarded for that, too.
I hope so.
All right, Cliff. It's great talk to you,
well, thank you
as
so
always.
I appreciate your support. I really do. Thank you so much, Terry.
Thank you, Cliff. All right. Cliff Mass, professor of atmospheric science at the University of Washington, joining us live. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Oh, man, what a show we have today. Check the news, and then I'm taking you to a city where a rampage went on for a couple of hours. Very, very dangerous. It would have been stopped in a couple of minutes if the Democrats in the state legislature and their voters had not passed the most irresponsible, dangerous bill in our state's history. Details next here on the Dory Monson Show. As we've been spotlighting for the last week and a half now, the effects of a new law that Democrats in the legislature put into place, really handcuffing police in so many ways, it is leading to not only a crime surge, but a horrible, horrible public safety problem down in Pierce County. A murderer that they otherwise might have caught is on the loose still because they couldn't use a police dog to find that guy. In Kennewick, there have been a couple of stories now, and I want to share with you some more ramifications of this new law. Kennewick Police Lieutenant Aaron Clem joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Lieutenant, I appreciate you coming on with me today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
I make sure I have my ideas right here. Wasn't Kennewick where the woman with the two knives came out of her apartment last week?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think it was about 2 weeks now. She had been trying to get into the apartment manager's apartment and had actually thrown a rock through the window. And when police got there, she had already returned to her apartment but started throwing dishes out her apartment and actually threw them at the patrol cars. The officers, called out to her, tried to get her out of her apartment, which she came out, but she came out holding two knives, two large kitchen knives. So the officers backed up, attempted to de-escalate the situation. And when they backed up away from the patrol cars, she advanced on the patrol cars and ended up puncturing nine patrol car tires with those knives.
And ordinarily, I'm guessing you would have maybe tried to knock her down with a beanbag gun, but they've taken those guns away from you now. So you just had to keep backing away as she was marching down the street with the knives in her hands.
Yeah, so ordinarily we would have used our 37-millimeter Batten less lethal launchers to end that situation in, 5 or 10 minutes, having, de-escalated with her. But in this particular case, we didn't have the use of those. And so our officers followed her and contained her as she walked and ran past schools, which are not in session right now, but had they been, it would have been a different issue. But we walked with her and closed down traffic and businesses as she walked approximately a mile and a half before we could get one of our partner agencies over here with a pepper ball launcher. She ended up crawling under a truck at the time, which allowed our officers to get close enough to use the pepper ball launcher to get her out from under the truck. And then we were able to use a less lethal taser to get her into custody.
Unbelievable. All right, so let's talk about the more recent one now. I understand there's a 16-year-old boy there in Kennewick who's had some pretty significant mental health issues. People had tried to get him resources. He refused. And then finally, it went over the line on Saturday. Tell me what went down then.
Yeah, so our officers responded to what was initially responded or reported as a welfare check, as this unknown male at the time was in and out of traffic. People were calling because they had to swerve around him and whatnot. So they responded as a welfare check. When they first arrived on scene, they couldn't locate anybody that matched the description provided, so they started checking the area. They ended up finding him a little, maybe half a mile north of the initial location. They made contact with him, asked if they could help him. At that point, he made a threat to kill officers and exposed himself to the officers and then ran out into traffic again. I think it was clear at that time that he had some mental health issues.
Well, and then he also, I understand, exposed himself to a woman and allegedly touched her in a sexual way as well. Is that right?
Yeah, that is right. And that happened prior to this contact, but it hadn't been reported yet.
Okay, got it.
It was actually reported to law enforcement while this other officer was trying to contain him. And he actually went into a liquor store. Sounds like he broke a bottle inside the liquor store and then left with a bottle of alcohol. And again, about this point is when that female victim was reporting the assault that occurred on her. Yeah.
So then what happened when your officers got close enough to try to apprehend the kid?
Yeah, so this officer followed him because he's all by himself. So followed him, trying to keep him in sight and waiting for additional officers to come as backup units because it's easier to de-escalate situations when you have cover officers. And I think you can actually use less force with more officers because you're able to control the situation more. So So while he's waiting for additional officers, this 16-year-old is walking through parking lots. He knocked over a motorcycle, causing damage. He broke a mirror off of a vehicle, causing damage. And when they finally went to approach him, they told him to stop. He refused. They finally, one of our sergeants put hands on him in what we would classify as an escort hold by just grabbing onto one of his arms.
Yep.
And when he did that, the male quickly turned around with a large glass bottle containing alcohol and struck the officer or the sergeant in the head with that glass bottle and then dropped the bottle and ran away.
She did break the bottle?
It damaged the bottle in some way because the officer was covered in the alcohol that was in the bottle.
Man.
So I'm not sure if it broke the bottle or if it broke the lid off the bottle, but somehow the alcohol came out.
I mean, I ask because those can be hefty bottles, and you know, if you catch somebody in the wrong place, it could kill them, a heavy bottle into the head.
Yeah, luckily in this case, he did get hit on the top of the head, and there was no significant damage. Obviously, it was painful, but it didn't cut him or anything at that point. He was able to chase the suspect and eventually was able to take him into custody with the use of his taser. And at that point, he was running towards a restaurant and a parking lot that had people in it. So it was good that we were able to get him in custody before he was able to assault anybody else.
How long was his rampage, beginning to end?
Yeah, so from the initial call in this one, it was about 15 minutes.
Okay. If you weren't handcuffed by this new law that the legislature passed 2 weeks ago, same situation, what would you have done and how quickly could you have ended it?
So that's a great question, because about an hour prior to this, officers had been called to a scene involving the same individual. And for another, like a mental health welfare check thing. And while the officers were watching it, because they didn't have probable cause to arrest him for anything at that point, the suspect went into an open garage and took a bicycle out of the garage. But just watching this individual take a bicycle out of a garage, it doesn't build probable cause because we hadn't contacted the victim yet of that crime. So we didn't know if we had a crime. So while the officer went to contact that victim, the suspect rode away on his bike and was able to get away before we were able to determine that there was probable cause. He got away from the crime.
Let me make sure my listeners understand this. So in most cases, in any normal state, which Washington no longer is, in any of the other 49 states, if you see somebody who you suspect, with all of your experience and observation skills, that you suspect may be involved in a crime, you could go up and question them. And in the course of that questioning, it often yields probable cause. But now, under this new law, you cannot go up, unless the homeowner is standing there saying, yes, that's the guy who took my bicycle, then you have probable cause. But short of that, you just can't do anything right now, it sounds like, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so we can, prior to this, we could have gone and conducted what we would call a Terry stop, and we could have detained somebody to determine whether or not a crime had been committed. We can still go and contact people, but if they choose to leave prior to us having probable cause, we can't use force. We can't detain them any longer until we can build that probable cause.
I've talked to officers from now 8 different agencies in the last week, and they all tell me that the word is spreading rapidly among the criminals in our state that if a cop comes up to you and wants to talk with you, just walk away. They can't do a thing about it. Even if you've just committed a crime, they can't do a thing about it. And the criminals, they know about this, and that knowledge base is going to grow, and crime is going to skyrocket because of this, in my view.
Well, we do know, historically, that people and criminals do share information. So that wouldn't surprise me if that turns out to be the case. But that is accurate that we cannot detain people while we build probable cause. We have to have probable cause before we can detain them. And so in this case, he got away from the bicycle theft. And then about 50 minutes later, we got a welfare check, maybe a mile away or so, which resulted in the theft of the alcohol, yeah. The damage to vehicles, and the assault of the officer and the female victim.
It's crazy, man. Well, look, I will keep spotlighting these stories because this has to get fixed. The legislature, I read the entire bill. This is one of the most convoluted, contradictory. They tell you to use beanbags, then they ban the weapon that can fire beanbags. It's just the stupidest piece of legislation I've ever seen, Lieutenant. And I appreciate you coming on and sharing the stories. You've had a couple of these now in Kennewick. Thanks for your time this afternoon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Lieutenant Aaron Clem, Kennewick Police. You got to talk to your legislator, man. You got to get a hold of them. Let them know that they're making the state as dangerous as can be right now. Text me, 98973. Lots more to come on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. My goodness. Nicole had a great day, too. Get the Kennewick police we just talked to. The girl whose lemonade stand had to move, even though it's two blocks from a homeless encampment, that's allowed to stay. We talked to Cliff Mass live at the Seattle Times, tried to do a hit piece on him. And a couple of hours ago, and I'm telling you all of this, I'm back promoting, we call it in the biz, because make sure you check out our podcast every day. It's available through mynorthwest.com, and it's really sweet. It's humbling how many downloads we get along with our live listeners. So check it out. If you miss anything, you can get caught up on it, and I appreciate having you aboard here on the big show. And by the way, tomorrow afternoon, a full half hour with a great mind, Victor Davis Hanson, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, and we're going to talk about the border and the drugs and what's happening here in the Puget Sound area with all of that. Victor Davis Hanson, half hour with him tomorrow on the big show. All right, with that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Another guy we talked to earlier today, his name's Steve, and he was doing a training ride on a King County trail down in Renton. And there were four teenagers walking on the trail, and he did the standard on your left. And the kids just stretched across the trail so he couldn't pass. And he ended up having to pass them on the right. And then he told me what happened next. Tell me what happened.
So basically, I was just going out for a quick bike ride down the Cedar River Trail. And as I was going down the trail, you know, it's kind of busy and down by the parks right in the downtown Renton area. So you go kind of slow and, you know, you stay on your left and people, you know, hopefully move to their right to get out of your way and you pass them on the left. Yep. And as I was going down, I saw a group of kids that were a little further down. So I'm like, you know, in my mind, we're thinking they're probably not going to be paying attention. They're probably talking among themselves. So I really slowed down, saying, on your left, no acknowledgement. And then at the last minute, they decided to take up the whole trail. And so I swerved to the right to get around them. And one of them basically threw a skateboard out in front of me. My guess is maybe to scare me, but I ended up flipping off my bike. And before I knew what had happened, they were on top of me and beating me and ending up with a broken collarbone, broken shoulder, and five either fractured or broken ribs.
Middle of the afternoon on a sunny summer day. And then it turns out when they described the four teens to the police, they knew exactly who they were.
If these kids are already troublemakers and known to cause problems and things like that, and where if someone would have taken care of these kids, gotten the help they needed early on, I might not be in the situation that I'm in now.
Yeah, but we keep turning the kids loose. No youth jail! And he said he's going to have to take a different approach to biking now. Given this experience, would you ever think about carrying a gun when you go out and ride?
Yeah, without a doubt, no.
I also talked to that 7-year-old girl who had her lemonade stand shut down just a couple blocks from a homeless encampment. Elsa and her grandma Sherry told me a little about it.
Who in the world would complain about a 7-year-old's lemonade stand?
I don't understand it. I really don't. Somebody who doesn't like kids or maybe just doesn't like people, I don't know. Because it certainly wasn't blocking traffic or blocking anyone at all.
Wow. Elsa, what do you think about this woman neighbor who tattled on you?
A little angry.
You can check out all that in our podcast. Thank you for hanging out with us this afternoon. We try to always make it worth your while. Tom and Curly Show's coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon.
Well, folks, I guess this is it. I don't have any more jokes left to tell. But I do have my memories, and I think we had a really good show for you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.